Right, we can be distracted depending how much we're dealing with, and to come into this atmosphere of joy that we are required to have for this season of Sukkot, it requires that we put on the mind of Messiah, to have a mind of joy, to have a spirit, a free spirit. Or sometimes we may even need to be crying out for that because of the stresses and the pressures that are weighing us down. But thanks to Elohim and through his Son and Spirit, who gives us the victory in these things, that those of us who will pull ourselves out of our flesh and value Elohim and his presence, no matter what our surroundings may be, no matter what may be going on, we will serve him. When it's time to share, we will share. We're not just going to sit on our hands and in our hearts, harden our hearts to refuse to participate. We won't do that, but rather we will open our hearts and participate in the joy of the Spirit, no matter what's going on around us. As I was meditating here and there, I right now I'm a full of I've been under stress. Some of my stress has been relieved as my wife is now back home out of the hospital, so that's a blessing. But at the same time, my job situation, because I've taken a stand not to accept what this world is pushing, now creates, employment or unemployment concerns, right? So in all of this, I have to stay sober. I have to still allow the joy of the eternal to reign in my heart during this time, despite this current pressure. What's easy for those who don't care about righteousness? Oh, I'll just do whatever the world says. It's not the same for those who want to do what's right in Elohim's sight. We don't do what the world says. We do what Elohim says and what he puts in our hearts and minds through his word and so on. So in meditating, it was scattered. It was scattered in my meditation as to what should I present today, and it's meditating here, being distracted there, so it's being pulled in and pulled out with the cares of life. But we need to stand firm in Elohim and his ways. So as I was meditating, I was this portion looking through the scriptures of what I will share, which I will go in shortly. I just want to digress a little bit, continue before I even do this, is what it says in Numbers chapter 8, verses 23 and 26, which was actually touched on last week. And it says, so Numbers chapter 8 verses 23 to 26 says, "And the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, This is that which belongs unto the Levites, from 25 years old and upward. They shall go in to wait upon the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. And from the age of 50 years, they shall cease waiting upon the service thereof and shall serve no more. Verse 26, but shall minister with their brethren in the tabernacle of the congregation to keep the charge and shall do no service. Thus shalt thou do unto the Levites touching their charge." So when I thought about this, I said, wait, so here. And as I was, I said, wow, I'm, and this in my mind, not thinking it thoroughly, I was, wow, I'm 56 going on to 57. That's past my time. Wow. And I feel like I've not accomplished much for Elohim. But then I realized, no. That is the first covenant, but actually in the new covenant, actually we find that from age around 50 and up or 60 and up is when leadership is encouraged among the brethren. Okay? Because by then it's expected that they will have been seasoned and have been overcome and been seasoned in the spirit, in the works of Elohim. So I realized, hey, okay, that's what's happening to me. Then I thought about, what about Messiah? I said, yeah, Messiah, even so. Because he is the source of the Jubilee. And as I said, I personally subscribe to the idea that Messiah was about 50 when he was, or 40, around 49 going to 50 or 50 when he was actually put to death. I subscribe to that older understanding of among the ancient, first and second century congregations, because he is the Jubilee and all of, like the feast of first fruits, you count up to 50, and then the first day, the victory, and so on. The day, and the jubilee years, 7 times 7, and then one more year to make 50, and that's the jubilee. But then his ministry, his spiritual ministry, his earthly ministry ended, but his spiritual ministry, so to say, he just transitioned into the spiritual ministry where he is priest forever and ever, ministering the matters of the new covenant. And so we likewise, in the new covenant as his servants, when we're, as it's encouraged, seen in the writings that it's the older, in age, literally, that are to be leaders as much as possible. As much as possible, those that are older, because by then we've been seasoned and overcome so many things, and our faith is more stable. So I was just thinking about these things along the line, but we need to be stable. And so with the Feast of Tabernacles, with Sukkot, it is a feast of, or a feast for faith. For faith. Right? So just when we, at the start of the seventh month, on the first day of the seventh month, it was a time of memorial. And yes, there is the blasting of the trumpets. We're not told exactly, you know, what was to be done, details. And I think Elohim allowed that for his free spirit of love to flow to us. And we would know in unity as his spirit guides. Because he does different things on these days from generation to generation. So, So in Yom Teruah, it's a memorial. It's a time of where you get to reflect on the past, present, and future in and with Elohim and his son. And then atonement, it's a time of self-affliction. Self-affliction, and we don't really do much other than the priests, right? Back then, we wouldn't do much. It's the priest. And likewise, the atonement by the new covenant, we don't do much other than repent, right? We've repented, and we're in the new covenant, and it's Messiah who does the atonement for us. But with the Feast of Sukkot, however, By then, it's settled. Even though it's settled, but it gives us freedom. It's interesting. It's settled, but we're free to live in moving, in Sukkot, in temporary dwellings that we can assemble, disassemble, move, and do whatever we want anytime we want in a synchronized, organized, purposeful way. It's a time of faith and freedom. We're not afflicting ourselves. It's not a process of repentance. It's actually a time that only those who have been justified through the atonement, Old or new can really participate in. In the past, in Sukkot, it was with faith and freedom, the people can leave their towns and their cities and go to the place where the Eternal placed his name to assemble. And it was a time of active participation. Participation in receiving and giving. That's the trail of thought that as I was meditating on this. So let's think about the feast of Sukkot as being a feast of faith. Let's review a little bit quickly about the Feast of Tabernacles based on the Torah, without turning to too many passages, because you're very familiar with that. I'm not going to share with you what you've already known, but we'll just reflect on them a little bit. So, as we saw in the book of Leviticus chapter 23, which was read earlier, and we read it every year, is that it's a time to remember that Elohim made them, that is the children of Israel, all Israelites, to dwell in booths. Okay, that was the purpose. It's not really so much, as I said, the focus is not on pilgrimage, as many would say, because the experience is an experience for all. Elohim, the purpose of Sukkot is a purpose for all. Because if it was a pilgrimage feast, as I mentioned last year, then those who lived in Jerusalem, especially those living real near the temple, would have missed out on this experience because they didn't have to go anywhere because they're already in Jerusalem. So that's not the emphasis. The emphasis was clearly stated in the book of Leviticus 23. It says that you may remember that I, the Eternal, your Elohim, made you dwell in booths. And last year we went over why was that so important, because of his awesome presence that was with them. He lived in a booth. He made them dwell in booths just like he did. I am your Elohim. You are to be like me. I am free and you are to be free. And he gave them that freedom. He gave them that organized way of living. They were not a ragtag, muddied looking group of people. They were clean group of people. Very clean. Their robes were not torn by the presence, by the power of the Spirit that maintained them. Their sandals did not wear out. So they were blessed. They had the wonderful presence of Elohim. They were an organized army, and together they looked like a living organism, with Elohim being their head. Where he went, they went. Where he stayed, they stayed. You remember that as we covered that last year, and as you read it yourself and have meditated on these things yourself. So that was the purpose, that they may remember how Elohim was in their presence in the tabernacle, and they tabernacle like him. And they behaved in accordance to his behavior, in his movements, where he went, how he thought. They did what was right as they listened and follow the instructions through the prophet Moses. And also we saw the effects that this tabernacle experience had on the surrounding nations. Oh, and by the way, what I've summarized before in the order and the presence of Elohim, again, that's found in Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 to 23. Won't read that, but you could review that if you want. Numbers chapter 9, verses 15 to 23. But the effect on the surrounding nations, actually, not just on the surrounding nations, their effect on the surroundings and the effects on the surrounding nations. Wherever they went, they left a blessing. They did not destroy the land. Wherever they went, by the presence of Elohim, in their presence and his commands, when they left a place better than when they found it. It was an arid place, but when they left, it was full of brooks and lush. depending on, I would want to believe it's depending how long they stayed there. But the effects on the nations, that the nations were in awe and terrified of them, as we see in Numbers chapter 22, verses 1 to 3. And so on, but it states that very clearly in verses 1 to 3 of Numbers chapter 22. The nations around them were terrified of them as they looked at them. So that's the summary of Sukkot. That's why Elohim says that you may remember that I made you dwell in booths. And it was to be a time of joy for them. Let's take a look at that a little bit. In Deuteronomy chapter 14 was a time of joy. And it is to be a time of joy for us. Again, like I said, we could be weighed down by many things. The necessities, the cares, the adversities of life. But we are to rejoice in that. And we saw that in Nehemiah, right? When, again, I'd like to say, when the people were about to cry, their hearts were broken, they felt convicted and repented in their hearts. They started to weep. But Nehemiah said, no, because this is a day of assembly, a commanded day of joy. It's not a time of weeping. So it's to show you that even when your heart is truly breaking, on the feast day, it's not to be done. We have to obey the command that it is a time of joy. We have to make ourselves joyful. We have to cry out to Elohim to make us joyful. It's not even though our hearts are breaking, we can't. And that's why I tell people, and they don't understand, on the time of the Sabbath day is not a time for fasting. We are not to fast on the Sabbath day. It's a time of joy, of rest. And you're not resting if you're fasting. But that's a study on its own. But now, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 26 says, and let's see. Yeah, it says, and thou shalt bestow that money. I'm cutting, I've left that on the context, but if you read from verse 22 down, it's about the tithe and how you would use the tithe. But I want to focus on the part of joy. And verse 20 says, and thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul desires after. Like what? For oxen, for sheep, for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatever your soul desires. And you shall eat there before the Eternal, your Elohim, and you shall, remember when it says you shall, that's what he wants you to do. You shall rejoice, you and your household. So the Feast of Tabernacles is a time of joy. Again, we could be weighed down by the cares of life, but this is the time that we need to like go against our flesh and have faith to rejoice. Because what's wearing us down, what's breaking our hearts, if our hearts are down, it's the things that are around us that are blocking our ability to see the goodness and blessings that we do have, or can have, or will have. And so we're weighed down. But we need to lift ourselves up to see the, besides the troubles that I personally have, like my employment situation, because I don't want to do wrong, right? So I'm put in a position to suffer for that. I have to not let that weigh me down. I have to look at the blessings of Elohim. I have to look at the present blessings. I have to remember the past blessings, and I have to look forward to the future blessings. You shall rejoice, you and your household. And also Deuteronomy 16, 13, verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 13 to 17. Let me start on verse 15. Yeah, 13. Sorry, not 15. Deuteronomy 16, verses 13 says, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that, thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine. So when this was done, was after they've gotten all the blessings. Okay? So what blessings have you received from Elohim that at this appointed time you can come and give him thanks? Despite whatever hardships we may be presently engaged in, having to deal with, what blessings has he given you hitherto? What blessing has he given you up till now? See, because it says, after that you have gathered in thy corn and thy wine, after, or you have gathered your blessings, you have received your blessings. Are there no blessings that we can give Elohim thanks for at this day and be thankful for him? Meditate on that. Meditate on that. Make this feast a true feast. As the book of Thomas says, he who keeps the, when we keep the Sabbath, we shall keep the Sabbath. And it is to be said, when we keep the Feast of Tabernacles, we will keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Let that make sense to in our hearts. It is a time of joy. So verse 14, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. So who are to rejoice? All who are close to you, from your own, that are dearest to you, those who help you in your physical things, manservants, maidservants, those who help you in spiritual things, and those that are not akin to you, those that are not, but would want to participate in your joy, the stranger and the fatherless, those who are in need that you could be in help of to do what? Help them rejoice at this time. Not those that are far off, but those that are within your reach. Spiritually, those that are within your capacity, according to your faith. Verse 15, 7 days shall thou keep a solemn feast unto the Eternal your Elohim, in the place which the Eternal shall choose, because the Eternal thy Elohim shall bless you in all your increase, and in all the works of your hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. Therefore, why? Because the Eternal will bless you in all your increase, in all that you gather unto yourself. Not suffering, endless suffering, not this and that. No. Blessings in your increase. Those of faith, will we increase sorrows and pain and endless toil and frustration? I've had some of that in my life, but I thank Elohim that he provides relief. So in our increase, he will bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works, and also what we accomplish. It will not be in vain. It will not be frustration. Just as Adam before his fall, none of his work, none of his labor had frustration, had failure. It required effort. It required his effort. It required his thought along and with Eve with him. It required all of those. It required his planning, but it brought forth success. There was no adversary at that point to disrupt. He was not subject to any adversary at that point to disrupt his work. It brought forth abundantly. And so therefore thou shalt surely rejoice. We must bring ourselves to rejoicing, brethren, no matter the difficulties we're facing now. Verse 16, 3 times in a year shall all males appear before the Eternal your Elohim in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Eternal empty. So three times in a year, you shall appear during the times of the unleavened bread, during the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And you'll not appear empty before Elohim. Some would want to make it so, oh, you're not going to come in empty-handed and you better bring your tithes. That's not the emphasis. See, the greedy so-called ministers, they'll make this into, oh, don't come empty-handed. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying you will not come empty because you have been blessed of Elohim. Listen, verse 17, and every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the eternal thy Elohim, which he hath given thee. According to the increase. You're not going to take out, he didn't set it up where you have only $50 from your 100 last week, and now you're going to take from your 50 and you're going to reduce it to make it now 45 because you've taken a tithe of your 50 and you've brought in $5, right? No, you're going to have more. You're going to have an increase, and of the increase, you will tithe. That's what Elohim said, but some would have people grovel and empty out their banks and make their lives miserable. But that's not the way of Elohim. He gives us the increase. Therefore, we shall rejoice. So, brethren, we can look forward to, no matter what's going on in our lives right now, if we trust Elohim, he will cause us to prosper. He will lift us up if we really trust him. Not trust him in our words, in word, in lips, but trust him in our behavior, in making the sacrifice, what seems to be a sacrifice. He doesn't ask us for a sacrifice, but the world will put us in a situation where we have to sacrifice. It's either we live, the sacrifice comes when we have to choose to obey him and lose out in the world. That's the sacrifice. We sacrifice doing losing out on what the world takes away from us when we're doing what's right. Elohim takes nothing away from us. So as we do what's right and the world is dark and evil, it takes away from us. But Elohim promises if we stand fast, he will bless us. He will surely give us the increase. And that's what I'm trusting for. And I look forward to being able to share a testimony when my stress by his mercy is past because of this present situation. Let's see another thing. So it requires faith. So the Feast of Tabernacles is a feast for only those who received atonement. Again, like I started off in the beginning, the feast of freedom, faith, joy, and active participation, which is Sukkot, came only after the memorial on the first day, after the atonement of the 10th day. Then came the opportunity for faith, freedom, joy, and active participation. So after the atonement, the righteous, those who were made righteous. So the scriptures state, the just shall live by faith in Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Everything, we shall live by faith. We will keep the Feast of Sukkot by faith. The people back then had to do it by faith, right? Even when they left their dwelling places, they were told not to be concerned about the safety of whatever they left behind in their cities, for Elohim would safeguard all of that. They had to have faith. It's not the police You know, many of us think we have faith, you know, those who would literally leave their homes and go to some hotel, so-called to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, they think they have safety because, hey, you know, I have police, I have my security system on. The people back then did not have those. The people back then had beasts around their lands. They had enemies around their lands. But Elohim kept them safe as they left their lands to the place where he would choose. As verse 15 says, we don't keep the holy days, particularly Sukkot, in any old way. We keep it in the place that he shall choose. Okay? Back then, once it was Bethel, and it was in other places. And at the time of Moses, right, and later on in the time of the kings, it was in Jerusalem, right? In Jerusalem. Specifically where the temple was. Now it's not the same. Now it's not the case. It's a new covenant, and Elohim is free. And we are to move in his movements when he moves. Let's not be stagnant. Let's understand that. Let's always remember he is an Elohim of covenant. And we will keep these things in the place he shall choose. But we get stuck. We forget that it wasn't always Jerusalem, just as it wasn't always Bethel. So if it wasn't always Bethel, why do we think it must always be Jerusalem or some other place? For you did not Yeshua, the living place, the place that he shall choose, he is the place, he is the all, he is the way, he is the gate, he is the all. Did he not say that the time would come where we shall not say in Jerusalem or here or there, but people shall worship him in spirit and truth? And so now we are the living temple, his living temple, which was the original purpose. As he said to Moses, at no time have I asked the people, you know, to anyone to make me a temple, but I dwell in a tabernacle. Right? So the original purpose is that we should be his temple. And as his living temple, we keep the feast in ourselves and collectively wherever we can meet, wherever we are. And some of the rules we are not to, like, we cannot break the law and say, you know, I'm going to do this. No, the law is still the law. Some things are to be done only in the land. And we saw that in their journeyings. At no time did the people keep the Feast of Tabernacles while they were in their 40-year journey. As a matter of fact, it was said that it is when you enter the land. It was in the land of Israel, the place that he should choose, that these particular feasts were to be kept. Passover was about in the Sabbath were the only appointed times they were allowed to keep. And I'm probably the new months and so on. I'm not sure. I don't have that in writing, but I would understand probably the new months. But as far as the Sukkot is concerned, it had to be done in a specific place. Let me try to move on. So it was a feast of joy, and it required faith. Let's see. In Leviticus 26, verse 3 says, another point. You needed the faith to receive the blessings, right? We're being troubled by the world now. Those of us trying to live. When I had to visit my wife while she was at the hospital, I couldn't visit my own wife in a hospital unless I take a COVID test. Every 3 days, I had to take one. You know? Leviticus 26, verse 3 says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, so keep my commandments, you're guarding them, you're holding on to them, you're not forgetting them, but not only that, you do them, You have them, you guard them, you make sure you know them, and then you do them. Verse 4, then I, covenant speaking, you do, I do. Covenant language here. If you walk, then I will. Verse 4 says, then I will give you rain in due season. Due season. It's not to fail. It's cyclical. He will not fail us. He will make sure it comes in due time. He's not going to let us languish. Then I will give you the rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing floor and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. So what is the adversary doing? Troubling us. But what is Elohim saying? What is Elohim doing? He's teaching us and he's telling us how to be safe, how to be blessed no matter what's going on. We have to really be serious about the faith. It's not just talking about it, not just doing, teaching it. We have to do it. In time of adversity, we have to do it. And he will do it. Verse 6 says, and I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. Verse 9, for I will have respect unto you. And yet he is not a respecter of person. He is not. But this is something he'll choose to do as you, as we live in accordance. He will regard us, in other words. It's not a contradiction. It's not the same spirit. It's not the same meaning where he says, I'm not a respecter of persons. When he says, I'm not a respecter of persons, he's saying he is going to be just. That's an expression of being just. But here he's saying he's going to regard us. He's going to care about us. He's going to look out for us. For I will have respect and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant. I will watch out for you, is what he is saying. Faithfully. And I will walk, verse 11, I mustn't forget, that's the key verse. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. So I will live with you, and I'm not going to be, bothered. I'm not going to be annoyed by your behavior. I'm not. Yeah, with me here, my phone here. Right? I will not abhor you. I am the Eternal, your Elohim, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, and that you should not be their bondmen. I have broken the bonds of your yoke and made you go upright. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. This world really wants, especially our present government, seems like they want to really make us bonds. But Elohim has broken, if we are in his covenant, he has broken the bonds of all governments from us. The government of Satan, we're freed from the government of the literal Satan and of all that belongs to him. So we must stand the test. We must hold firm. And not yield. So they needed faith for their safety. Leviticus, I just read that part. So they needed that faith. And we need faith for ours. How do we get faith, brethren? For the just shall live by faith, right? The just gets the faith from Elohim because it's a gift of Elohim. The just don't automatically have faith. The just, because they're just, Elohim interacts with them so they can believe. Elohim gives us a little here, a little there, not just in word, but in deed, in life experiences, as he did for Abraham. Abraham did not have faith in of himself. What Abraham had was righteousness. Did he necessarily know what was right? No, but he yearned for righteousness. And Elohim knew that. That whether Elohim knew right or wrong, he wanted what was right. And if he could just get it, he would bask in it and do it lavishly. Elohim knew that. And because he had that attitude, Elohim made himself known to Abraham and gave him the life experiences, the training he needed for about 13 or more years to have faith in him. And that's how he does it. He'll do it for all of us if we have that righteous mindset. If we are that good ground to receive his word when his word comes to us. Have no Elohim before me. Do not take my name in vain. Remember, do not bow down to vain things. Keep my Sabbath day holy, and so on and so on, and every other thing. Love the Eternal with all your heart, all your soul, love your all your mind above all else. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your brethren even as I, the Messiah said, have loved you. These are the things that we must be circumspect, aim, strive prayerfully to be circumspect in, so we can receive the blessing of the covenant. Because surely, dear brethren, if we do not become overcomers through Elohim, according to his new covenant, we will fall along the wayside. There's no one that can fight against the kingdom of the adversary without being translated into the kingdom of his son. We can't. It will be sure failure. So we need to strengthen ourselves in this, the principles of this feast. So these were the things that these are some things we could learn from looking at the Feast of Tabernacles. This time of faith, freedom, joy, and active participation, because we have been reconciled to Elohim by the atoning work of his son. Right? Now, we need to keep it in faith, knowing, as in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 says, I'm coming to a close. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 says, and elsewhere, but I wanted to find something in the book of Revelations. He says, Revelation chapter 3, verse 21 says, let me start from verse 20. Let me correct that for myself so I know that. It's from 20. To 22. So it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. See, if we are receptive to his ways, keep his commandments, then he will come in and do what we need to be strengthened. I will come in and will sup with him and he with me. He will partake of us and he will give us of himself. The hidden manna, the true bread that comes from above. Verse 21, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I also overcame and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the congregations. So we need to trust Him to judge and lead us in all situations, especially in adversity. But believe it or not, we need to let Him lead us in times of joy. If we don't, we'll find the adversary there, waiting to steer us in the wrong way. We need to trust in Him to lead us in times of sorrow. If not, we'll find the adversary waiting to crush us. It's in all things, joy, sorrow, adversity, we need Him to lead us. So, this requires or fosters virtues of character, patience, forgiving each other, being full of love, having peace and pursuing peace. We need to have a mind of true unity where we're not worrying about, because we're a body. We have a sense of what the other is doing by the Spirit. So we're not worried because we're in the bond of love and peace, having a spirit of thankfulness. And we support each other and doing all in the authority, in the name of Yeshua, of the Son, and in giving of thanks to Elohim. A matter of fact, we see this in Colossians 3, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Let me turn there briefly. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17 says, this is what we must do to have these blessings. Put on, therefore, as the elect of Elohim, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, these high things of Elohim's law. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Messiah forgave you, so also do you forgive. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on agape, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. 15, and let the peace of Elohim rule in your heart. See, let it rule. It doesn't rule automatically. Let it rule in our hearts. Let it. He stands at the door and knock. He's not going to barge in. But if we say, I need you, He'll come in. So let the peace of Elohim, the peace of Elohim is knocking on our hearts. Let the peace of Elohim rule in our hearts, to which also you are called. See, when He's knocking at the door, what is He doing? That's a way of calling. Hello, I'm out here. Hello, to which you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. We must have that thankful spirit. So we must be sober in our minds to do these things, to even be aware of the knocking on the door. For let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It's not just let the word of Messiah dwell in you. I've seen this where people take the words and without wisdom say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. We must have wisdom, because wisdom is in the core that He has put in us by His Spirit. If we're listening to what the Spirit that He has given us is saying. I'm not necessarily saying the set apart Spirit, but His Spirit in us, because He gives us a Spirit that keeps us alive, that when we go, if we're not His, is going to leave without us. But if we are His, we are purified when we see the set apart Spirit, and when we become one with Elohim. So we need to have this. So we must make sure we hold the word of Messiah in wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms, in hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the eternal. Singing with grace in your hearts to the eternal. Okay? With grace. And last verse. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the sovereign Savior, giving thanks to Elohim the Father by Him. Giving thanks to Elohim the Father by Him. So we can look forward to another point is that we can look. So these are the characteristics we must have as we're participating in this feast, literally and spiritually. Literally and spiritually. We must have these virtuous characteristics and behaviors and attitudes and awareness and soberness, as stated in 1 Colossians 3 verses 12 to 17. So the final point and conclusion, we can look forward. So this is how we're dealing in our present life with the adversity. But we can look forward to the time when there will be no adversity, to His future presence and guidance, as stated in Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. I'm really coming to a close. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17 says, "For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and Elohim shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." There'll be no more adversity for us to stress with, no more frustrations. Okay? For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne. What throne? The throne that He said in verse 3 that he overcame and sat on his Father's throne. They're not two or three thrones. There's one throne. Even as the Son and the Father. The Father is in the Son. And the Son is in the Father with one Spirit. And the Father is on the throne and His Son in Him. And the Father in Him. And He is in the midst of the throne. That one throne. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. And shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. There's much to be said there, but we're out of time. Revelations 21, 2 and 3, these are short verses. This is the closing. Just to look at what we have to look forward to a little bit with His leadership and presence. Revelations 21, 2 and 3 says, I'm sorry, verses 1 to 3 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, Yohanan, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from Elohim out of heaven, prepared as a bridegroom adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle, the sukkah, the booth of Elohim is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And Elohim Himself shall be with them and be their Elohim. I will be your Elohim, and you will be my people." And verse 4 and 6 says, "And Elohim shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, I am the beginning and the end, the Rishon and the Aharon. Right? I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So that must be a very important thing. And we know it is the Spirit of Elohim to dwell in us. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. So the world is trying, Satan and all those following his ways are trying to destroy us or make us perplexed, trying to derail us. But if we hold on firm, we will inherit all things. All things. Revelation 7:17 says, I already read that. So that's it, brethren. So in conclusion, Sukkot is a time to remember Elohim's presence and leadership, his order among us. So, and acting and thinking and being like him. That's what he was making the Israelites do. And that's why he said, therefore you shall remember that I made you dwell in booths. Secondly, it is a time of Elohim for faith in Elohim's protection. A time for faith if to have joy in him. A time for faith for his leadership in all things. A time for faith to be faithfully and joyfully anticipate his future literal presence in the new world to come. Dear brethren, let's hold on firm as we begin this Feast of Tabernacles physically and, of course, spiritually. Amen. Thank you, brethren.